great to be with all of you today. I appreciate the diversity in the house. I was thrilled to tell the lady at the hotel this morning at breakfast who works there that she would be welcome to join us today. She started crying and sharing some things going on in her life. I said, well, I'm ministering right down the street at the church Cove. And she said, is that the church that is right across the street from the elderly assisted living area? Forget how she said it. I want to say it properly. I said, yes, it is. And she said, oh, I know about that church. And I said, well, it's a diverse congregation. I'm told that it's one of the few diverse congregations in the county. She said, oh, I know that church. I donate food to help when they do community outreach. And I don't know if Lisa is here today. She worked all night. She said, I'm going to try to be there this morning. I said, no, you need to go home and get some rest. Sometimes some good rest is the answer to your problem. Touch somebody and say, take a break, Jake. And that's what I'm praying today, is that the rest of the Holy Spirit would touch our hearts. Would you open your hands like this and just hold them up to heaven? We're going to pray together. Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your presence that makes the difference in our lives. I pray now, Lord, that even in the absence of our pastor, though he's not here in person, I know he's with us online. I know his heart and prayer is in this house. I've stepped in to minister to this wonderful congregation today. I pray that you would breathe upon us the breath of life. Give us your energy, your strength, your rest. Speak to us what you want to say in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone say, I believe it. Say, I receive it. And then just before you're seated, I know Pastor Darrell is watching with us online. I wish you'd give him some love and let him hear it all the way in Athens, Georgia. We love you, Pastor. We miss you. We know you're going to be back here in this house real soon. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to say about Pastors Darrell and Kristen, one of the things that I know and love about Pastor Darrell is he is for real. Serving God is not a joke with him. Church is not a joke with him. He's the real deal. He loves God for real. He loves this church for real. We talk almost every day in some way or another. We will communicate. And his heart is always for you and for this church. And it is eating him alive to not be able to be here. He truly is trying to figure any way he can to break out and to be here in this house. I was at our home in Dallas, Texas, and I actually witnessed that terrible accident happening in real time. I had just finished our first service and went back to my office and clicked in to join in with you, and I saw Pastor Darrell standing on the edge and the ledge of the baptistry. And I thought, well, what is he doing? This feels good. It sounds good. I could feel the presence of the Lord was in the room. And then just seconds later after I joined in, I heard him say, but I can't go back. And then he jumped. And then I heard him say, oh, I don't think that was good. But with Pastor Darrell, you never know if he's playing a trick on you or if it was for real. He's truly one of the funniest humans. And I thought maybe he's playing a joke, and I hoped that he was. But I quickly called my wife and said, we have to pray. I think it's bad. Our friend has taken a fall, and I think he's hurt himself. And so he has. And I guess most of you were probably in the room that day. But we pray and believe for a speedy and a miraculous recovery in Jesus' name. I felt the presence of the Lord so strong here. And I text Pastor Darrell and said, God is in this room. And I want to tell you, if God is in the room, everything is going to be all right. God doesn't look for perfection. Somebody say, thank God. God just looks for a heart that is turned toward him. That's why Jesus said the greatest commandment in all the scripture, Master, teacher, tell us what is the greatest commandment. He said, the greatest of all the commands is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, with everything that is within you. Because if God can have our heart, He can take care of anything. I want to encourage you to give Him your heart today. Can I read something funny before I get started in the Word? Would just one person say yes? With you and me, we're a majority in God, all right? A lady inserted an ad in the classifieds, New York City, and she said, husband wanted. The next day she received 100 letters. They all said the same thing. You can have mine. I bought my wife a new car, and she called and said there was water in the carburetor. I said, where's the car? She said, it's in the lake. Can I read one more? Marriage is very much like a sweet violin. After the beautiful music is over, the strings are still firmly attached. Okay, y'all didn't catch that one. Can I read one more? A little boy asked his father, Daddy, how much does it cost to get married? The father replied, I really don't know, son. I'm still paying. Let's get into the Word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about the reality of living in a life that is oftentimes accompanied by storm. They say of a soap opera, which I don't know a whole lot about that. Well, let me use a Western. That's probably a little bit better. They say the hero is either in trouble right now, he just got out of trouble, or he's just about to get in trouble. And I will tell you, in real life, you're not going to get through without some storms. You're not going to get through without some life happening. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, a few lessons that we can learn from the storm. In Mark chapter 6, verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. God doesn't always tell us everything that's going on, because he knows that we wouldn't be able to handle the details. Let's move ahead to verse 46. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he, Jesus, was alone on the land. I want to promise you that if it doesn't feel like Jesus is right there with you right now, I promise you, he knows where you are. Verse 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake, and he was about to pass by them. 49, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out. They were partially right. He was a ghost. He was just a ghost called holy. He was the Holy Spirit with skin on. He was the Spirit of God coming to where they were. And I want to say this, from a distance, sometimes God looks like something to fear. But when you get close, you understand he is the Comforter. Verse 50, because they all saw him and were terrified, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. 51, then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. I want to talk for a few minutes that there are lessons that we can learn from this storm, and I want to just show you a few of those. Number one, it's enormously important to be able to recognize his presence. They were in trouble. They didn't know what was going on, Jesus came passing by and they recognized, we think this might be him. It's important to recognize his presence, because when God tells us to do something, we automatically assume that the wind will work in our favor because God told us to do it. The second lesson that we learn from the wind is, just because the wind is against you, that does not mean that God is not for you. Just because something is going contrary in your life, that does not mean that God is not with you and that God is not for you. Many times the confirmation that God has actually spoken to you is the fact that the wind is against you. Conflict, challenges, storms, troubles. Is there anybody here today that you've had a little bit of life happen to you, maybe even this week? Like, just because you say yes to Jesus doesn't mean the devil is going to leave you alone. And it doesn't mean that life is going to always just be lovely. There are some things that are not the devil. There are some things that are just life. If you don't put gas in your car, it's going to stop when the needle hits E. You pray in the spirit. You can lay hands on your car and cast the devil out. But what I really need to do is cast the dumbness out of me and go put some gas in the car. Can I get a witness out here? Life is going to happen to everybody. You can write a check and just trust God when you don't have the money in that account to cover it. But I like what one man said, that's not faith, that's a felony. We have to understand life happens to all of us. And it's not always the devil. And just because you're having resistance does not mean that God is not with you. In fact, resistance often leads to revelation. It's easier to hear sometimes when we're going through trouble. The path of least resistance is often the path of the loser. I like what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Anybody can serve God when times are great. Anybody can have a smile on their face when all is well. But when hell has come against you, when you're in the middle of the lake and the storm is threatening to take you down, it takes great faith to lift your hand and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be in my mouth. Somebody shout yes. If y'all will help me just a little bit, it'll cut the time in half. Now say, amen. I even heard my wife say amen on that. The wind was against the disciples, not because they had disobeyed Jesus, but because they had obeyed and gone in the direction of his command. The wind was against them. Sometimes the enemy is going to fight you more when you're walking for Jesus. You know, you don't experience a whole lot of trouble when you're going with the flow. But when you decide to take a stand in your school, or take a stand in your family, or take a stand in your job, or take a stand in your heart and say, regardless of what pop culture says, regardless of what the enemy says, I love my Jesus in my heart. That's when you're going to face the opposition. Can I get a witness out here? The third thing that I learned from this storm is, the wind is against you so that you will know that it is God's presence with you that makes you successful. If the wind carried us, we might thank the wind. If the wind worked with us, we might thank the wind that we reached our destination. You would thank the wrong thing if the wind was in your favor. But when the storm is against you, when the problem is against you, it is then that you have to realize, you know what? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would not have made it through this difficulty. It was not the wind that brought me safe thus far. It was the power and the presence of God Almighty. It was the helping hand of the Master. It was the help from my Savior that said, peace be still. Matthew chapter 14, it is the telling of the same story from a different author. He said in verse 14 and 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, bid or invite me to come to you on the water. Jesus just said one word, come. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. You see, the other disciples were intent on obeying Jesus and just getting to Bethsaida. But Peter wanted experience with Jesus. While some were just seeking escape, Peter was seeking an experience. Now, I want to challenge you today, don't settle for an escape when you can have an experience with the Savior where you can meet Him face to face and understand who He is and let Him show you who you are in Him. It is in Christ that we live and breathe and have our being. It is in Christ that we learn who we are in Him and through Him. It is in Christ that we understand the power of His hand working in us. I want to ask you, is there anybody here that you know for sure that if God had not saved you, you would not still be alive today? If God had not rescued you, you would not have made it. See, there's something about that revelation when you know for yourself that God saved me. It wasn't my own strength. It wasn't my own good looks. Can I get a witness out there? It wasn't my own power, but it was the hand of Almighty God that reached down to where I was and pulled me up to where He is. When you have that personal experience and that personal encounter with God for yourself, it gives you a confidence and it gives you a strength to know that I've been through it, and if I can get through this, then I can get through anything. If I can make it through this storm, then I can make it through anything. Can somebody shout yes? The fourth lesson we learn from the storm is that while others are seeking peace, Peter was looking for the peace speaker. While others were just looking for the escape hatch, Peter said, if that's really you, I want to know you for myself. I don't want to settle for mama's relationship. I thank God for the prayers of a mother. I thank God for the prayers of a grandfather, a grandmother. My sister said to me this morning during the offering, she said, I just had a flashback to when we were little in church. Daddy would always give us money and let us have something to give in the offering. You know, the Bible says that we should train our children in the way they should go. Children are very smart. They're going to listen to what you do a whole lot more than what you say. Nobody say an amen to me. The reason that I'm able to stand on a stage with Pastor Daryl and Pastor Kristen's two children and say I'm thankful that they love Jesus is because they've seen their parents live at home what they say in the church. They've seen a consistency in their parents that they're for real and they love Jesus. I want to prophesy that in the next 12 weeks, strength will come to this house. Revival will come to this house. God will touch your heart and use you and you and you and you and you as a vessel of His anointing. God wants to show Himself strong. But my sister said, I had a flashback, memories of us being in church and our father would give us money so that we could give in the offering. And then she had another flashback to Sunday mornings. Thank God for good memories in God's good house. And while some are just seeking an escape hatch, there are those who are seeking the peace speaker. There are those who are seeking a relationship with God. There are those who really want to know Him. I'm going to preach for just a few more minutes if you'll let me. But there are some real people who say, I want a real Savior and I want a real touch from God that will not just give me an escape hatch, but will give me an experience with the Savior. Touch somebody and say, you need an experience. We need an experience. Peter was looking for an opportunity with Jesus. Others were looking for a destination, but Peter was looking for deity. They were looking for an excuse, but Peter was looking, I want an experience with Jesus. Peter was living in the moment and wanted to get out of the storm, but more than just get out of the storm, he wanted to get to Jesus. Sometimes the more significant faith is the willingness to stay in the storm and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I know that with you, I'm going to get through this. Who am I preaching to today that the devil tried to tell you you wouldn't even make it to church today, but you're here and alive in the presence of God, and God is wanting to show himself victorious on your behalf. It takes faith to keep rowing the boat when you can't see the shore. It takes faith to keep rowing the boat and believing. Matthew 14, verse 30, but when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Just a three-word prayer. You don't have to have the vocabulary of a genius to talk to Jesus. You can speak to him in Georgia language. He even understands Mississippi or Texas, Alaska or Arkansas. God understands you where you are. Lord, save me. He didn't pray in some confusing language and try to speak some beautiful flowery speech, because God will come to you where you are. Who am I preaching to today that you feel like, well, I can't pray like Pastor Darrell, or I can't pray like prophet this or prophet that, but I'm telling you, God will hear your prayer and God will hear the words that you say. And when you speak to him from your heart, you're going to touch the heart of God and he'll come to where you are. I wish somebody would help me preach for about 5 minutes. Peter heard the word from Jesus, come. The Bible said that he saw the wind. It's always confused me. How do you see the wind? I can't see wind. I can see the results of wind, but wind is invisible. But when you're in a storm, you begin to think you're seeing things that aren't even really there. Because when the wind is contrary, do you remember when you were a child and you'd see a shadow? And you'd put a frame around that shadow, and you'd put a knife in the hand of that frame, and in your little childish mind, you would have created a monster that's right there in the room. And all it takes is you flip on the light switch and the shadow disappeared, and all at once the monster was gone. Is there anybody with me here today? Am I the only one that was afraid as a child? And you create a body around a shadow. And I feel the Holy Ghost saying to somebody today, there's a shadow and you've created a monster around that shadow, and all you need is the light to step in the room, and the shadow will have to flee when the light steps in the room, because God wants you to know there is nothing to fear when Jesus is near. His power was there to help them. But sometimes we pay more attention to what we see than what God says. We're looking at what we think we see more than what God is saying. We focus on what we're seeing and not what God is speaking to us. And when we give more focus to what we see than what God is saying, then we begin to sink, because our imagination can begin to see things and imagine things. I am preaching to somebody here today that the enemy is having a heyday with you, creating imagination and evil imagination in your heart and in your mind. But God wants to let the light come. I feel like God wants to shine the light today and remove some shadows and rebuke some lies and clear out some fear where the enemy would like to attack us. Somebody shout yes. Somebody say, I believe. I believe. If you believe, you can receive today. Peter was doing fine walking on water based on what he heard, because he heard Jesus say, come. But when he put more faith on what he thought he was seeing than what God was saying, he began to sink in what was going on around him. And I want to tell you that when we begin to focus on what's going on around us more than we focus on him, we will always begin to sink. But Jesus has stepped by today to pull somebody up. You know, we give Peter a hard time that he was beginning to sink, but at least he was close enough to Jesus. He was within a hand's reach. At least he knew who to cry out to when he was in trouble. And I hear the Lord helping us today, saying, all you have to do is call out to me and I'll be right there. I feel like I'm pushing the devil back off of people today, where the enemy is trying to get your ear and trying to cause you fear and trying to take you away from the presence of God. And I feel as if I'm in a spiritual battle today, pushing back the hounds of hell, saying, can't touch this. Oh, I'm not going to break that down. I might break something. After I saw Pastor Darrell jump, I went back in to preach our 11 o'clock service, and I like to get right on the edge of our stage, and we don't have steps, and I was right on the edge, and I was just about to jump, and I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to jump today. Lord, have mercy. Peter heard Jesus say, come, and as long as he was listening to the voice of Jesus, he was on top of the water. But when he began to trust more in what he was seeing than what God was saying, he began to sink. I want to ask you, how important is it to hear the preached word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the word. Peter wasn't upheld by H2O. He was held by the word of G-O-D. It was a word, and I'm telling you, one word from God is able to sustain you in the middle of your storm and your darkest hour. One word from God is able to speak peace, be still. All you need is one word from God. Because when you have a word from God, you can declare, God, my God is Lord. No matter what season I'm going through, no matter what it looks like around me, I want to come off this stage today. No matter what it looks like the wind is doing, no matter what it looks like is going on, I've got a word from God. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? I wish somebody would shout, yeah. I want to show you a passage that talks about the importance of the word. I'm almost finished. Don't believe a word of that. Romans 10 verse 13, but I am. When I say it three times, you'll know I mean it. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I want to ask you, how important is the preaching of the word of God? How important is it for you to hear the God-ordained, anointed preaching of the word of God? He said, they cannot hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to tell you, one word from God has enough faith in it to move any mountain that stands before you. One word from God has the ability to arrest the situation. I see some gray hair in this room. I see some people who've served the Lord for probably years. I know a few of the church family here that have been faithful here to this house in good times and in bad times. In times where it felt like we were on top of the mountain, and sometimes it feels like the mountain is on top of us. Can somebody look, amen? Sometimes it feels like that you're sailing on top of the storm, and sometimes it feels like the storm is on top of you. But we've learned, like Andre Crouch wrote, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've been through mountains. I've been through valleys, but I've learned God is there through it all. Is there anybody here today that God's been faithful to you and you've praised him through it? I want to tell you, if God brought you to it, he's going to take you through it. I will be with you through the storm. I will be with you through the river. I will be with you through the flood. My sister said it yesterday. She lost her job back in, was it October or November? She said, in November, she lost her job. She said, do you remember telling me that God's probably just going to allow me to have a vacation? And then right at the end, when my... unemployment is about to run out, God's going to provide me with a job. And I said, I remember that now. It's so hard to be calm when you're in the midst of the storm. But when you have Captain Jesus there with you, he wants to speak, peace, be still. It's going to be all right. I want to tell somebody watching online, it's going to be all right. I want to tell somebody in this section, it's going to be all right. I want to tell somebody in this section, it's going to be all right. Can I talk to you? It's going to be all right. It's good. I wish you'd touch somebody right now and tell them it's going to be all right. Valerie said, then out of the blue, just a few weeks ago, someone she had not even talked to or interviewed with or made contact with that she knew, a recruiter from out of state, reached out to her and gave her the job that she's saying to us is like a dream come true to her. And so someone asked and said, well, where was the unemployment? Where were you in that process? She said, I think I had another week or two of unemployment left. You know, God's never late, but he's never early. Sometimes it feels like God will work right at the midnight hour. When you've just about let go, when you don't feel like you can hold on any longer, when you don't understand why didn't you come quicker, God just steps in the brink of time, and he steps in with power. I wish I could walk amongst you, but I know I've got to preach to our online community too. But even though I can't come to you right now, Jesus is walking by your chair. Jesus is walking. The presence of the Master is walking close to you right now. And he's saying, come, come. And if you will accept that invitation from the Master, it will change your life. The wind died down when Jesus got into that boat. The wind never died down while the disciples were straining. The Bible said Jesus saw them straining. Straining did not bring their peace. Submission did. You can strain and you can fight and you can press and you can wrestle all you want to, but it's not till you submit to Jesus and say yes to him that your life change is going to happen. When Jesus climbed into the boat, verse 51, then he, Jesus, I'm coming to a close, and I think this one might be for real. Verse 51, then he, Jesus, climbed into the boat with them. He climbed into the boat with them. He climbed into the boat with them. He climbed into that boat that they thought was sinking, but he said, I'm not scared of a storm. I'll climb out of this storm and I'll climb in a sinking boat. He climbed into that boat that they could not take care of the situation. But he said, I'm not scared of the situation. I'll get in your bad situation with you. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus is not afraid to climb in it with you. And when he gets in the boat, look at this. He climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. See, everything that Jesus is doing is to show us and to teach us he has a plan. He's the man with the plan. The invitation for Jesus into their boat changed everything for them. Sometimes the storm teaches us things about God that we would have never learned in the calm. Come give me some closing music. Oh. Just like the Lord, right on time. Well, that's a good closing key you hit there. I feel like maybe I can close this down within an hour. How many of you believe I can? Complete surrender to God's presence is all we need to have complete victory in our storm. Would you stand with me? Your answer is not going to come by our own hard-headedness. My answer is going to come when I say what these banners say on that side of the room and on that side of the room. When I say a big yes to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. What is Jesus asking of you today? What is Jesus asking of you to do? I believe that everyone in this room has a next yes for Jesus. Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily walk, walking with Jesus. Please don't get in a big rush right now. I trimmed off 5 minutes of my message so we could have a moment of prayer where we could just come and say yes to Jesus. Say, oh God, I want to commit my heart. I want to commit my life. You might say, I've served the Lord 35 years, but I have a fresh yes today to say to Him. Some of you may be here and say, I don't even know really Jesus. I've never known Him, but I've been hearing about Him for 35 minutes. And I want to say yes to Jesus today. And I want to challenge you, whether you've known Jesus for 35 years or 35 seconds, your yes to Him will be the best yes you've ever said. Who is it here that God's dealing with your heart, dealing with your spirit? Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe the enemy has tried to convince you that he's going to take you out, take you down. Maybe the enemy is whispering in your ear, trying to hold you back with fear. But never fear when God is near. I'm trying to write a poem while I'm going here. Jesus has peace to speak into your heart. Bow your heads with me if you will. Precious Lamb of God, we bow our heads in your presence. This worship team led us into your presence this morning. I sensed you in this room, and I know that you're here to help broken hearts. I know you're here to touch broken lives. I know you're here as the peace speaker. I'm asking you to move in the hearts of men, the hearts of ladies, every age, every family. Let us be touched with the mighty hand of God. May the hand of salvation, may the hand of peace, may the hand of safety, may the hand of strength, may it rest upon every heart in this room. Lord, I rebuke every lying force of hell. I rebuke every voice of evil and iniquity. I rebuke every voice of disunity. I rebuke every voice of fear. And I speak the peace of Almighty God to cover this place, cover this room, cover the hearts of every individual in this place. If you're in this house under the sound of my voice right now, I wonder if you would say yes to Jesus. I think it'd be great if we'd have family time and have family prayer around this front. I'd really like to open to everyone. Would you come out of your chairs and just gather around this front area and let's pray together as one big family. All of you, come on down. Step out of that chair right now. All of us, let's just gather in as a church family and let's lift our voices to Him in worship and in prayer. What a beautiful congregation you are today. What a beautiful family of God. What a beautiful family of God. Sing it. The presence is among us now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Everything is changing now. Everything is changing now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Miracles are breaking out. Is among us now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Sing it, go ahead.
Everything is changing now.
Everything is changing.
Everything is changing now.
Everything.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Miracles are breaking out. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, that's
I want us to prepare to close out with, I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. I remember we sang that song a few weeks back in our church, and I was singing along with the worship team, and I said, God, I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. And I felt him say back to me, will you really? Do you really mean what you're saying? And I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, yeah, I really mean that from my heart. I want to make room for you to do whatever you want to. So we're going to close this service out with this. The church has grown since I was here last. There are more people here. You've grown in number, and you've grown in health. You've grown in spirit. Pastor Darrell came here a little under 6 years ago. I particularly feel like it was the voice of God, the hand of God, that brought Pastor Darrell and Kristen, Jude and Elle to this place. I feel like the Lord even used me to speak to him about that 9 months before it happened. He and I were in a season of prayer. We were in a season of fasting in our church, and I called him and I said, bro, we call each other Bo. Y'all can't do that. There's only a few Bos in the world, but we call each other Bo. And I said, Bo, this is a simple thing, but I feel like in 9 months, God is going to birth something in your life, and there is a change, there is a location, there is a different something God is going to birth. And 9 months later, you came into his life, and he came into your life. And so it hurts me today as I look over at the baptism tank, realizing that this is where our pastor was and doing his illustrated sermon just 2 weeks ago. And he told me there was one of the brothers that said they felt impressed that they should go help him. They just kept feeling this little tug to go help him, and they blamed themselves. And of course, Pastor Darrell said, I've relived that 1,000 times and just thought what I could have done differently. But God is going to work through this. God didn't cause it. God does not cause all things, but God will work with everything, and God will cause it to work together for good. God does not cause bad in your life, but when bad things happen, if you'll keep loving him, God will cause it to work together. Somebody shout together. Somebody say together. And so what I want to challenge you and challenge us as a church family, Pastor Darrell will be off of his foot for a series of weeks. It's his desire to be here next week, and I believe it's possible. He's very determined. And when he gets his mind made up, he'll move heaven and earth. And he plans to be here. He might be in a chair, probably will be, but he might be sitting here next Sunday. That's his heart's desire. Amen. But here's what I want to challenge us as a church family. This is a season for us to come together and say, you know what? It's not all on one man. We're a church family. We're going to pull together and bind together, and we're going to see revival hit our church right in the midst of a storm, right in the midst of a different season. And what I want to challenge you is, God could cause this church, as you're stronger now than when I saw you last year, I believe that in the next 12 weeks, you could experience the greatest revival. What will it say to our community when they see that our lead pastor is temporarily down, but we have rallied as a church family and said, hey, come see what God is doing at our church. I want you to see what love looks like. I want you to see what power looks like. I want you to see what the presence of God feels like. And so I want to declare that over you. We have a practice at our church that I have them declare and repeat after me and just give positive declarations of faith. Would y'all mind repeating after me a little bit? Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. You are mine. I can do all things through your strength. I am blessed to be a blessing. My church is blessed. My church is strong. Our pastor is healed. We declare victory over the next 10 weeks.
our church will grow in strength, in number, in finances, in health, in every way. I am blessed. God's blessing is chasing me. I am highly favored. Favor is chasing me down. And with God on my side, who can be against me? In Jesus' name, give God the greatest praise you can. Let's sing this a couple times, and then I'll let us move on. Sing this from your heart. Say it.
And I will make room.
Tell God that.
For you.
God, I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to.
To do whatever you want to.